The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
Hello, and welcome to another exciting adventure on the Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay! We're back after a week off for watching Rogue One.
Indeed, indeed. It was definitely a very Rogue One week last week. And, well, we probably won't get into it too much. This week because the other guys are not here, or at least not one of them's not here yet, and others not here yet. But we'll get to that in a second. In the meantime, I am your host, Ryder Cat. As you can tell, I am not Tim, who is... spending some of the time with the rents, as they say. So, but I know he's peeping. So shout out to Tim DOGG98. Also, who I believe is going to be with us in a little bit is PCN underscore Dirt of thepopnetwork.com and well, I guess for the time being, Tiny CC Vine Comics and Instagram. Graham Comics Reviews. You can check them out all on that. You can also check out Tim at theclicknation.com and at CBCron and his Instagram. You know, he's probably over there styling and profiling. But with me tonight, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the soundboard, Brooklyn's own, Agent 70.
What's up, everybody?
He's not chilling with the video of Cap's fireside. Watching the Giants go down in flames.
Oh! There's still time. There's still a half of football left to play. Come on.
Hey, you know, I'm not a sports ball person, so I can't, you know. There's not much I can say. So
that's funny.
But yes, you can find Agent 70 at Agent 70, Agent underscore 70 on Twitter, and at Instagram at the same name. You got any other posts?
No, that's it for now.
For now. Oh, shoot.
For now. Right. Because we're like always looking to expand on the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of that, like I said, you can find me at Roddy Cat on Twitter. You can find me at News Nerds Neat on Twitter. You can also find me at Instagram under, well, I don't use mine that much, but you can definitely go there under Roddy Cat. But you can also check out Instagram.com/CBCaps, where I pretty much tweet out, well, Instagram screenshots of panels that I like from books. It's a good time. And if you want, hey, you can check my Reddit over at News Nerds Need, you know.
There you go.
Also, since I don't have a site yet. You can find the podcast at thecspn.us, along with other fine programs. You can subscribe to us using the link bit.ly.cbcronpod. Or if you go to cspn.us, you can find us there. You can also find us, if you want to find some nice CSPN swag, you know, for you or your loved ones. It's probably starting to get a little bit late right now for the holidays, but nevertheless, always a good time. Go to shop.cspn.us. And I think that is about it for the
plugs. Yeah, I think that covers us. Mm-hmm. That covers us. So just very quickly, we're not, you know, as we said earlier, we're not going to necessarily be doing a Rogue One reviews because we should have closer to a full roster available to talk about it. But at the same time, I can give the general review of it was pretty good. And I had a good time and it was definitely Saving Private Ryan-esque.
It was definitely a story. It was definitely a wartime story that we have seen before, just not in the Star Wars universe. That's for certain. Right. You're right. So there was a certain Saving Private Ryan and probably a little bit of Seven Samurai in there, and probably a couple other, you know, movies in there. And the one thing I will say though definitely is I found it weird how close the end of it was to what we already know, without saying too much.
Yeah.
Because I know there's people that still hadn't seen it, but at this point, you know.
Yeah, we won't spoil it just yet because, you know, it has really only been out for a week, so we're not going to discuss it that much in depth. So
exactly. You know, there were cameos galore. There was some Clone Wars stuff that was in there, which we'll get to, but we'll at least acknowledge later on in the news. But until we get to the point, let us start off with some books like we normally do.
All righty.
And I believe we said we were going to start off with last week's books.
Yes.
And we're going to start off with Totally Awesome Hulk number 13.
Yes, because all we do is Lin, no matter what.
Let the insanity come. Yes.
So this particular issue of the Totally Awesome Hulk kind of diverges from where the story has been going for a while. It involves, as we were just talking about, a guest appearance by none other than the starting point guard for the Brooklyn Nets, Jeremy Lin. And he makes an appearance as a guest star and, you know, playing himself, obviously. He's not playing any other character. He's there, you know, as himself, interacting with Amadeus Cho. And the crux of the story, I'm going to hit the spoiler bell, even though this was out last week. The crux of the story is that Amadeus Cho finds himself in Austin, Texas. And, you know, that's where he, for some reason, runs into Jeremy Lin. And they play together in a charity basketball game, which ends up involving a bunch of off-world aliens.
Yeah, no, right? I'm like, was there something? As soon as I got to the part, it was like, the Space Jam?
What yeah, exactly. On? It was definitely Space Jam-esque. I'm very glad that you mentioned that, because I was about to say it was reminiscent of a certain Disney movie. Actually, no, Warner Brothers movie. What am I saying? Disney. Warner Brothers movie, because it's Looney Tunes.
Right.
So, it was a pretty interesting team up. Some of the aliens involved were from a variety of sources. One of them was from Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run from the Break World. One of them was from the more recent storylines in Jason Aaron's Thor and Mighty Thor, because it involves one of the elves from one of the elf realms.
Sure.
And I'm trying to remember before I pull it up.
There was somebody from you said Break World, but there was somebody from Planet Hulk also.
Yes, from Sakaar. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There was a straight up Planet Hulk reference.
Yeah, so, I was like, huh. Which was also Greg Pak, right? Who did Planet Hulk?
Yes, Greg Pak. Okay,
yeah, so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, ultimately, the story ends on a cliffhanger because, spoiler alert, something happens to Jeremy Lin. And, you know, let the mischief continue into the next issue.
Yeah, you might say he got caught up.
Oh, no! So, yeah, it was a pretty kind of offbeat interlude, given where the Totally Awesome Hulk stories have been going lately.
And I haven't been reading them, so I wasn't sure, you know.
How this fit in.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely
I kind of figured it was kind of away from the story, because it kind of seemed like something that was like a filler story, if you will.
Right.
But there was also the part where he was trying to get, you know, he was trying to get in contact with the sister. Right. That part obviously has something to do with the, you know, last issue or two.
Right. I would laugh if Greg Pak, and he will, he's going to find a way to weave this into the greater story of the Totally Awesome Hulk. So it's going to be, you know, an interesting way. To, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Pak weaves this into the overarching story.
Mm-hmm. But it was definitely a fun read. I will say that, and even for someone like me who hasn't been reading, because I originally wasn't going to pick this up, but I was like, you know what? Why not?
Sure enough.
Like, I'm not a big sports power person, but I know who he is, and I'm like, okay, let me see what they were doing with this. And it's not the first time that they've put, like, you know, figures in superhero comics before. So
sure,
it's sometimes the way that they do it is rather cheesy, I guess.
Or ham-handed.
Yeah. But this one seems like it was pretty, like I said, it kept it pretty light.
Right.
Until things start going on.
Absolutely. All right. So that's, you know, that's that book. There were a couple of big number one launches last week. We can talk about one of them that it looks like we both read, which was Hawkeye number one, starring not Clint Barton, but Kate Bishop.
Yes.
It warranted its own hip-hop cover, and I'm holding up the hip-hop cover for the folks who are watching on video.
And I didn't pick that up. But then again, my shop hasn't been getting too many hip hop covers lately.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's the order requirement. And sometimes the order requirement for these hip hop covers can get pretty high. My own my own little hole in the wall shop. Shout out to Carmine Street Comics in New York City in Greenwich Village. I normally have to go to the Behemoth Midtown Comics to pick these up to make sure that I get them. So. But that's that. And so what did you think of this issue? I actually, just very quickly, I actually was surprised that it was as engaging as it turned out to be.
I know. Now, it seems like, well, there was some stuff, particularly on the first, like the review page, I guess, or the preview page.
The recap?
Yeah, the recap page mm-hmm. that suggested something that did not show up in this issue. But I thought it was kind of interesting that they felt the necessary to kind of make that tie.
Are we referring to, and I'm going to hit the spoiler bell.
Sure.
Are you referring to the three characters who were listed as quote-unquote character references?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially the notable one, because you see up at the top, you see a card referencing a private investigation.
Yeah. I was going to say yet another private investigation. Exactly. In the universe.
Exactly. As she said herself, being a superhero and a PI, you know, is the thing right now. So But yeah, I enjoyed this issue. I love Kate Bishop. I don't know what.
Listen, I don't blame you.
Yeah. And I thought this was, especially coming after Fraction's run, to where at the end of it, when she did have her own storyline, that she was actually doing some detective work.
Right.
That this is kind of sort of coming off of, but it doesn't really tie directly to,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like I said, I enjoyed that part, and it's Kate being Kate, and she's in LA and starting her own business and got her little hole in the wall, and people are mistaking her for the other Hawkeye.
Sure. I wanted to actually point out that, I guess it's sort of in the tradition of the Fraction and Aja, Hawkeye, where there are a couple of pretty interesting page layouts and page designs,
mm-hmm.
which kind of utilizes something that we really didn't hear about or think about until the first Avengers movie, when they actually pointed out that the Hawk. You know, he's up in his nest, if you recall.
Yes.
We never really thought of Hawkeye as an actual, you know, play on that particular aspect of sight. You know, when you think of Hawkeye, you think of, you know, hitting the target from you know, hitting the target always, right?
For sure.
But another aspect of that is being able to see from afar and being able to see from above and being able to take in the entire scene. So it was mm-hmm. very interesting to see how the play on the name Hawkeye is also to, you know, show how observant these two characters can really be and to kind of lay out what they're seeing, you know, in terms of the entire scene or scenario.
Right. And, that was a pretty great observation. You're absolutely right.
You know, it was a pretty cool thing. And I recall from your notes, I'm scrolling down to your notes now, that mm-hmm. the first page, the first time that we see this, is a shout out to a classic movie with classic Keanu mm-hmm. Reeves yep. and rest in peace Patrick Swayze, to the original OG, not the remake, Point Break.
Yeah, because screw that other mess.
Yeah. And granted, that hot mess, I was about to say, I haven't seen it, but I know it's, but I've heard so many awful things about it and read so many awful things about it. I know it's on HBO and I will not watch it.
Right.
So, but, because I saw it, you know, I saw it in, flipping through channels, like, nope, not watching that.
Right.
But,
all right.
You know, and it's one of those things when you're flipping through channels and it's deceiving and it's like, wait, what year is that? Which version exactly. is that?
And all right, then you're like, hey, this is a Point Break.
Not that Point Break. Right. So in any event,
scared also.
Yeah, exactly. So as I was saying, there's a direct reference to what happens in that original movie. There's a particular scenario. The second time that we see the kind of unique layout and the way Kelly Thompson and who's the artist on this? What, Tedesco, I think it is.
I don't remember. Wait, is it
no? Leonardo Romero. Romero.
Aurora. There we go.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover page. So Leonardo Romero specifically laying out this particular page design and story design, design for the layout, where we see what happens when Kate has to assess the situation where the dead presidents are doing their thing. So right.
Which is also outside of being a the Point Break part of it with the presidents, but also a kind of callback to the Hawkeye run where they kind of did that stuff. It was like, because you can see what she sees basically, and she's kind of pointing out what her view of things.
Sure.
So, and that was a thing that was happening in Hawkeye's, in Clint Barton's run, the Fraction run, I should say, of Hawkeye.
So basically, once the little homage to Point Break passes and Kate takes care of business, we run. What you were alluding to earlier is that we basically step right into Kate's current situation, which is mm-hmm. trying to get her PI firm off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as things tend to happen. Like I said earlier, she gets confused with the other Hawkeye, including, even though this person wasn't there for that long, the young lady that comes in to try to get her parking spot,
mm-hmm.
Ramon, who I'm going to assume is probably going to be a part of the series in some way, shape, or fashion.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's safe to assume that.
Yeah, who's giving her a bunch of shit.
Pretty much.
I thought she was all right. I was like, okay, clearly she's gonna factor in some kind of way. Oh, but I want to get back to the art for real quick, because I thought the art itself had a real classic feel to it, in the way that it was been, and not just what you were saying earlier about how the layouts were done. It's just right. The art in general just seemed to have kind of a classic comic book feel to it.
I'm inclined to agree. There's a very clean look to it. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of, in terms of the coloring, there's not a lot of subtleties. There's not a lot of, multiple shades to imply depth. It's just right. Pretty straight. It's pretty flat. There is definitely a classic quality to the art in overall.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of appealed to me because, you don't really see too much of that.
Sure. It almost looked like, part of it almost looked like an Archie comic.
Right. Exactly.
It was kind of interesting to see that part of it. So... I was very much pleasantly surprised that this was as kind of engaging as it was. I found myself flipping through this like, oh, this is actually peppy and interesting. So I'm looking forward to the next issue.
Yeah, indeed, because it does definitely end with not necessarily a cliffhanger, but we see something.
Oh no, I think that's happened. A legit cliffhanger. Because, something happens to Kate's first client after what is supposedly the shutting of her first case. So.
True. But you kind of saw it coming. Or maybe it was just me. Because it seemed like, okay, this is too good to be true. And I was, it was like, because the way the whole issue was going, is like, yeah, she was on the track of one thing and she pretty much figured she had it figured out. And then, nope.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I think I would have thought or seen it sooner if it weren't for the fact that, when we're looking at our preview pages, sometimes it's hard to tell when you're getting towards the end of the book. And I think had I been flipping through my physical copy, I would have picked up on that much sooner, picked up on what you were mentioning a lot sooner.
Right. You're right. So let us move on to, you got something you want to do? Because I think I see something on Tim's list I might want to bring up.
Oh, Tim filled out. Oh, okay.
He filled out his.
All right. Let's see. All right. Spider-Man number 10. Did you read that?
Did not.
Okay. Very quickly, Tim pretty much summarizes the entire issue. There's a lot of talking, but it also gives a possible Civil War 2 finale spoiler.
Did we ever finally get Civil War ended?
Jeez. There's so Civil much War stuff. 2. Exactly. Civil War 2 is just, this is awful. That covers that book. What else can we talk about? I guess
Guardians. You want to get to that? Did you read Guardians?
I did not.
Oh man. Okay.
Hold on. We'll go on and start talking about it. Let me see if it starts to jog a little bit.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy 15. Tim said Tim's read it. I read it. It's a Ben Graham tale. So as we found out, well, as we've known for the last issue or two, I guess, and Civil War II, the Guardians are stranded on Earth because their ship got blown up along with the Triskelion. The group has kind of gone their separate ways because of, you know.
Because of something.
Yeah, because of basically some Civil War II stuff. And
right. And there's also, I was about to say, there's also, you know, just a little mild spoiler. This week had the two solo titles for two of the Guardians members. And I read both of them. And yeah, they don't spoil what happens.
Right. So they just kind of just completely break from it.
Yeah, they basically break from it. They basically break off. And I guess the Star-Lord book kind of implies that it's his fault, but we don't know what it is that he did. So,
okay, I haven't read Star-Lord, so I'm going to have to
check that out. Well, and now we've already spoken about that book.
Gotcha.
That's pretty much it.
I gotcha. But yeah, because even, because if I'm not mistaken, that one has the grounded tag, which Guardians also does too.
Right.
So you figured it was going to be, you know, tied a little close to Guardians, which I guess would make sense because Gamora doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta figure. But back to Guardians. So yeah, Ben Grimm's back on Earth. He's looking a little tattered. He's back in New York, kind of rolling around. He gets some love in a couple different ways. Like he goes back to his old tailor, but he goes with the classic trench coat and hat, as we have seen Ben do. Yeah. He also is like reminiscing on the FF, because I think somewhere in there he does see Johnny kind of flying around, but he's kind of in the shadows because not to call attention to himself before he gets to you know, to his tailor dude. But he goes in there, gets some clothes. You know, he basically doesn't have much money because all the stuff was on the ship when it blew, so he wouldn't have much on him. And then, you know, the tailor's kind of hooking him up, gives him a little bit of money, so he goes get some pizza.
Which is crazy to me. I haven't read this, and this is like full-on spoiler stuff for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, you know, I'm flipping through
it. I was preview pages, so none of this is not that spoiler. But,
right. You know. But at the end of the day, I'm flipping through it as you're speaking, and I'm like, wait a second.
Right.
Ben Grimm has been off-world multiple times. He can't be broke. There's got to be an ATM card he can get to or a bank teller that he can walk up to and say, hey, I'm Benjamin Jacob Grimm. Can't you tell? I'm not like... Exactly.
But at the same time, but think about this, though. I mean, maybe he didn't have his card on him. Maybe he was still in the ship.
It's not like they need picture ID for him.
Oh. I mean, this is true. As we see in the book, there were people who were like, hey, you know, he doesn't pay. Who's this? So... But nevertheless, he gets by with that until he gets approached by, with a mission from S.H.I.E.L.D., more specifically, Maria Hill, because, you know, that tends to happen.
Okay.
And the reason why, which ties into another book, because I have to bring this up, Tim brings this up also, has to do with Infamous Iron Man. Because basically this book is being spent kind of catching Ben up to what's been going on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks to a couple of people outside of, at least one other person, specifically Mary Jane Watson, who works for Tony. You know, because basically what happened is Ben's pretty much being recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D. to check in, possibly take down one Victor Von Doom, who has gone legit, seemingly, as we have seen in Infamous Iron Man and Iron Man proper. So, and Grimm's not too, obviously Grimm hears about what's been going on and was like, nope, this, we all know, you know, Doom's bad, so I'll do this for you type of situation. So he goes off doing that. And, apparently this issue ties into the next or the current issue of, Infamous Iron Man, which I don't know if it's, I'm assuming.
It does. I just flipped through this. Right. So this basically fills in how Ben Grimm gets to that point in the Infamous Iron Man story. Just very quickly, just to wrap this up, there is a guest appearance in this from one Anton Vanko. Of Iron Man 2 Infamy.
It
is particularly that version of Whiplash, which is kind of embarrassing. just a little.
You know, they've been kind of throwing the cinematic stuff in here left and right.
So it's kind of interesting to see them poke fun at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, you know, it's like you said, the story is very Ben Grimm centric. We basically recapped it while I was flipping through. I'm going to make sure to try to read this just to see what you know, some of the interactions between MJ Watson and Ben Grimm are like.
Yeah. It's definitely kind of worth it, especially for the beginning stuff, which is some of it's kind of touching. mm-hmm. you know, he's kind of reminiscing on things and, you know, before going into the crux of the story. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it also. And apparently Tim did too.
Cool.
So, and it definitely does sync well because it's going to go into Infamous Iron Man. So we will
sure.
see. So now I have to read that to see what, you know, to see what happens.
Sure.
I've seen the cover. Wait, is that out this week? I can't remember because I've seen the cover.
It's been out.
Okay,
that's
what I thought. Okay.
It's been out.
So that's why I'll have to go back and read that then. So what else do we have?
From last week?
Sure.
Inhumans versus X-Men number one. Okay. Apparently this is Tim Dog 98's candidate for click of the week for last week. This was a good issue.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good issue. I like this. I'm kind of on the fence about naming it my click of the week for last week, but I definitely agree with Tim's assessment that basically the X-Men have their take first blood
right.
in this battle between the two the two kind of offshoots of humanity in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, like I'm not sure if I'm going to read this.
This was an interesting first issue. It definitely flowed very well. It'll read very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was very, you know, again, kind of surprisingly engaging.
Okay. Well, maybe
so,
check it out.
Yeah, you may want to give it a shot. Let's see. What else do you have on your list for last
week? I have, Power Man and Iron Fist number 11.
Go ahead.
So I can just go through this really quickly. In fact,
I was about to say we may be in rapid fire for last week, so we can move
for
on.
For last week, yeah, definitely. So Luke and Danny are still trying to clean up the mess that's been going on there's some software that was going around that could change or give people criminal records or erase criminal records, and they're still trying to deal with that. We got one Alex Walker basically in this issue making his move to kind of take over Harlem. We have a lot of exposition between that, and Black Cat is on the other side trying to take over Tombstone's territory.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, and then somebody, well, Cottonmouth specifically is like, nope, I'm not doing it with that because you're trying to get me killed, and you know, that's not gonna fly. So he goes to Alex Walker, you know, and I guess spills the beans, which apparently he might have already known about it because that gets taken care of. There's a confrontation between Alex and Tombstone, which doesn't go well for Tombstone. So, and at the end of the issue, we see one Alex Wilder on top, like nice. Literally, you know, on that front, and even given out his, you know, plans. Like I said, and the other part of that was, which was only at the beginning of it, was seeing Luke and Danny trying to still clean up the mess about the story. But like I said, they're starting to slowly catch up to what's going on around mm-hmm. them with Alex Walker, but they're still on a kind of slow. So, but yeah, that was a good book. Can't remember.
What else you got? It. Rapid Fire?
Let's see. Yep. Doctor Strange, Punisher, Magic Bullets number one, which I should have looked at the digital copy of this because they apparently this was an Infinite comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it kind of shows by the page layouts and whatnot. Okay. But nevertheless, it was funny. So we start off with the Punisher, who is in the Lower East Side, trying to take down, I guess there was a restaurant opening with some mob ties, and the Punisher is kind of going on low-key undercover, and this is the other guy with him, who apparently wants to be a mob, you know, wants to be in the mob so bad, where he's just like, oh man, I can't believe I'm here, da-da-da-da-da, you know, one of those kind of spazzing out people. But Punisher goes in, puts in work, pretty much kills everybody except for this dude, who happens to get away, because, you know, Punch went thinking at the bottom. Frank ends up near this door that's glowing. And on the other side of this door, he comes across Doctor Strange, who's fighting some monsters. Which is weird because, like, right there, like, you see Frank looking through the door, or I don't know if he went through the door or looked through the door, but he opens the door and sees this going on and sees the whole fight, which is cool because Frank. Like the Punisher part of the story is written like a war journal. It even says, you know, Punisher war journal, da 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 da, and it kind of goes through with his inner dialogue come on, and until he gets to that part where Doctor Strange comes in, and then it gets written all in the style of how Doctor Strange book is being written right now. And you see him going through the fight and fighting, you know, magic is still kind of weak and apparently coming, you know, growing, as he says, you know, there's a little bit springing up here and there, but there's still not a lot. So that right. fight happens. Strange goes back home, and next thing you know, Frank rolls up on the door seeking Doctor Strange's help mm-hmm. because that place that he just came from, which apparently, you know, Strange didn't see Frank for whatever reason, because I guess, well, because he was mid-fight, whatever the case may be. But basically, there's something still going on at that place. Frank needs Strange's help, but, you know, Strange is resisting because he had just got finished fighting and taking all night and whatever. And Frank being Frank, kind of impatient, but like went up to Zelma, was like, hey, you got Dr. Voodoo's number? I hear he means business.
Oh no.
Yeah. But like I said, Dr. Strange said he was going to help him, and then they start, and then they go back and find some mess going on at the place with this brother and sister who owns the place, who I guess have my ties. I was getting a Fenris vibe, but they don't have any powers, but apparently okay. they were trying to get some power or something. Because of the stuff that was happening in the restaurant, and some person that I don't know too much about, Mangrove or whatever, I don't know if that name means anything to you.
No.
What's helping with that? Yeah. So, but at the end of the issue, we see some things going on, and we see, you know, Strange and the Punisher kind of meeting some resistance when they get back to the spot. It was an interesting read. Especially enjoyed how they kind of, you know, it's like did the war journal stuff and then flipped to Doctor Strange's style, kind of.
Sure. Different points of view for the story, so.
Exactly. So, and going forward, I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but gotcha. I just read this as a curiosity because I was like, okay, putting them two together would be is interesting.
And you got one more book.
I do have one more book. Optimus Prime number one. The most I can say about that, because actually now that I remember, I kind of skimmed through it. I didn't exactly
remember. Back in the days.
Yeah, so this is a story
on the planet of Cybertron.
That takes place before the Prime we all know and love was, when he was going by Orion Pax. He was a cop on Cybertron, trying to be a do-gooder like he always does. The thing about it is now, the weird thing is the recap page kind of has a previously on and goes through the stuff that is going on, I think, currently in Transformers, which I am not caught up. I know Dirt and I are both trying to catch up on Transformers separately, but that's a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Like, it's a couple of books. And, matter of fact, that wasn't even the only book that came out this week on that front, because there was one called Transformers Last Light that also came out that had to do with some other stuff that's going on. But it seemed all right. As with the other Transformers book, there's some good art, but there's a wall of text.
Gotcha.
That you have to go through. So, and then I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but you know, gotcha. It is a thing that you are going to find with those books. So, but it was all right. And I think that's it for me from last week. What else? What you got?
Yeah, let me run through rapid fire what I've got left and what Tim has left, because he doesn't have that much left either. No. For my end, Daredevil number 14 is the climax to this pretty cool arc. You know, this pretty cool, like, kind of a murder mystery where Daredevil has to team up with the Inhuman cop, Frank McGee, to track down an Inhuman who is using human blood to create art and murdering people to create art. So right. It's a pretty interesting finale. It's pretty gruesome. I give Charles Soule a lot of credit for creating a story with ramifications to some of the characters who are playing a role in it. And I'm going to leave it at that because I do not want to spoil it. It's only been a week. If anyone is looking to catch up on Daredevil, this is a good place to... This is not a good place to start, but it's a good place to end. So I suggest you go back about three or four issues to start with the beginning of this arc. And we also find out what happened to creepy Ten-Finger Guy in this, and it's kind of satisfying. So I'm going to leave it at that without spoiling anything. I'm going to jump to Tim's list to try to wrap up last week's books. I already discussed Spider-Man number 10. There's a whole lot of talking. Suicide Squad number 8, spoiler alert. Captain Boomerang is alive again, very conveniently. He's also alive in one of the books that's out this week that I can talk about. Uncanny Avengers number 17, I did not read. I did not finish reading, but Tim's notes are pretty spoiler free. The Unity Squad deals with their zombified Hulk problem, which I kind of got that was the gist of the story. He's enjoying this a lot. He says it's a very fun series, and I'm inclined to agree. And that covers our books for last week.
All right. Well, let's shoot to this week then.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out this week. I can just hold up. By the way, before we wrap up last week, I'm going to just hold up for the camera and the people who are watching on video the hip-hop cover for Inhumans versus X-Men.
Okay.
So that's that. And we're going to move on to this week's books. And this week's books, there's just a gigantic pile of books.
I was half expecting that because of the time of year it was going to be light. But I know because it starts getting light around this year. So I know, but also know that because we have like another week in the year,
right?
Like they're pretty much trying to get everything out of the way before Christmas, and they normally do. Because I think if we had another week, they would probably kind of half cut some of that. So therefore, we can expect next week to be light, except for the books that I didn't get this week because my shop.
Understood, right? Because they ran into some shipping problems, right?
Yeah.
So my shop did not run into any shipping problems, and I also obviously have to go to Midtown to pick up my hip hop covers. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, I took advantage of a holiday sale, and I picked up a few more books that I'm probably not going to continue reading these series, and just kind of stick to our review copies. But I definitely picked up a couple of number twos for some Marvel Now series that I may not stick with.
Okay.
But, you know, I definitely came out of the shop this week with a lot more books than I thought. But there's definitely a lot that came out. So it's actually pretty good that we cut down on how many books we're going to talk about for this week.
I've read those. Yeah. Usually on so a little behind the scenes, we usually, like if we have like 1 week, we got like, which is, we're not beholden to this, obviously. But, you know, we usually have a list of 12 books that is on the dock. So if you read up to that or read more than that's what's up, but usually we kind of have that up on.
Yeah, we usually read anywhere between 5 and 10 books. Usually we don't usually read 12. Yeah. Right.
Right.
We usually read between 5 and 10, but this week, you know,
just on the weekend, depending on how we're feeling, you know.
Exactly. So this week, did you read any DC this week? Cause let me knock out Batman.
Yes. I read a couple actually.
All right. So, I actually read something that Tim really liked a lot. Okay. Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 1. I did not even have room to put it on my thing because I read so much this week.
That's what I just said. So, yeah.
You know, I actually picked up the variant cover. This is the Gary Frank. I believe it's the Gary Frank cover with Deadshot and Batman.
Okay.
So holding that up for the viewers at home and on YouTube.
Tim wrote a review on the theclicknation.com. Go check that out.
Yes. I can tell you that this is a pretty exciting first issue. And obviously because the nature of the Suicide Squad is that they are bad guys who are being coerced into doing somewhat good by Amanda Waller, it makes sense that they would be at odds with the Justice League. It just does. You know, it's all a setup. It's all a contrived premise. But at the end of the day, the nature of the two teams is such that it makes sense that they would be fighting as opposed to the Inhumans and the X-Men or the Avengers and the X-Men or everyone against the X-Men.
Right. And you would think, you know, obviously the Justice League's like, why is there a team like this around? This shouldn't happen anyway. So,
right.
You know, even if it was the other way around, obviously they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be too cool with this. So I don't know what the premise is of the story, but like you said, I can see
these it's contrived
in the heads. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still contrived, but it still makes sense. So all right. So that's that. I also read Batman number 14, is it? I think 13. Batman number 13.
Okay.
And I think this finishes up the I Am Suicide storyline. Or maybe not. Maybe not, because basically we find Batman at the mercy of Bane, and there's actually a bit in here that leads right into Justice League versus Suicide Squad. There's actually a couple of pages in here that involve a certain Amanda Waller. So it's actually kind of a tangential tie-in, put it that way.
Right.
But when it comes to what's actually happening in the Batman book, Batman finds himself at the mercy of Bane, but I'm going to put this as gently as possible. The tables turn.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. The tables turn. Without spoiling too much, I think that's spoilerific enough when I say that the tables turn. So I don't know if it doesn't say that that the next chapter is another part of this I Am Suicide story, but you know, we do reach what seems to be the end of this particular storyline.
Okay.
So that's actually my DC for the week.
Well, mine for the week. Let's see what Tim has on here, because I think that was it for him too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because apparently he didn't get too much this week. Right. So mine for the week, real quickly, Cyborg number 7. Okay, so there was something strange when I read this book. And
in the neighborhood?
A little bit of book.
Hold on. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, and you're definitely not going to call Cyborg on this one. But, so at the, and I'll get to the, what was strange about it in a minute, but at the end of last issue, you know, we get our new Cyborg. Well, actually, we've had him for a while, which I guess that's the strange part. Well, not the strange part, but we meet our new Cyborg, whose name is Varant, which is still a strange-ass name. Mm-hmm. Her and Cyborg have a little coffee, you might say, a little talk, because, you know, they're the only two cyborgs, so they kind of bond a little bit. At the end of the issue, it seems that, well, it doesn't even seem that, but it is the fact that Varant is working for, well, was a CIA operative, but she's working for some dude who's ex-CIA, and they're trying to basically get a force together and, you know, get in some terrorist business, basically. So they needed Cyborg's tech, and apparently we found out this issue that it was planned for Varant to become who she is, and it was all scripted within, because we see, you know, obviously we've seen in a few issues before this, how this came to be, and this is kind of recapping that, and, you know, you get a lot of exposition about the grand plan and whatnot, and why they needed Cyborg's powers and whatnot, so that's happened. The villain, whose name is escaping me, wants to kill Cyborg, but Varant's like, no, let's keep him around for this so I can get some more tech from him. What ends up happening is that they tried to use his tech, and Cyborg gets the upper hand by taking over her a little bit. And, you know, the tables get turned, as we say. And they get turned again because the guy who's working with Varant turned on her. So now she tries to make things kind of right and does, but at the end of the story, we see Steve Trevor coming in talking about she's property, we need to switch her off type of situation. And that happens, much to the chagrin of Vic, who doesn't really care too much about that. And at the end of it, we basically see Varant still in Star Labs under the direction of, actually goes a little bit further than that, because Silas's father, Vic's father, who had been kidnapped, is in another way place, and he's following this. So the guy that's in his place is fake. And there's this whole big thing going on there with why he needs, you know, Cyborg's tech. But now the Varant's been shut down and is in Star Labs. He gets that. Cyborg comes in, finds out that that's not his dad, and, you know, the Cyborg tech is being used, and something happens to Cyborg at the end of this, which could be the end. No, really. But something happens to Vic at the end, and we will see how that works out.
Okay.
This issue in a nutshell. But this has been pretty good. I know Dirt's been reading this and been trying to wait for, you know, the storyline to get to this point to where it was going to pay off, and it seems to have, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Now, the strange thing about this is what I'm going to get back to real quick was that, so when we first meet Varant, and granted, I say this because I read last issue when it came out, and I don't know if they're double shipping Cyborg this week, because I feel like it just came out a couple of weeks ago. But regardless, as of last issue, I was like 3 issues behind.
Mm-hmm.
So when we meet Varant, I wish I had that issue up, but I don't. So when we see that issue, I went straight on, and Varant looks white. Without no certain terms. Like, she basically looks like a white redhead in that book.
Okay.
So coming into this issue, she's black, which is not an issue, but I just found the weird coloring thing between that issue and this issue. So I was like, well, wait a minute. Did they turn her black this issue?
Or was it just a colorist problem?
Or was it, it was definitely a colorist problem, because if you go back to issues 4 and 5, where we actually see, well, yeah, issues 4 and 5, she's actually black.
Okay.
So it absolutely was a color issue last issue. So okay. I was like, I thought that was weird, because I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I'm definitely far behind. I'm kind of surprised that there's a character named Variant. So, you know, that's news to me.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we talked about it last time Cyborg came up, but it was like, okay, that's right. A weird name. Right. But anyway, that is Cyborg number 7. It was still pretty good. It was just like, I thought that was like, what happened with the coloring on that last one or this one?
Okay. So,
Trinity number 4 will round out my DC for this week. It could have been a potential clicker week, because I actually still like this book.
Okay.
So the last few issues, we've seen everyone go through basically a time in their past. And this was no exception, because last issue was Batman's. The one before that was Superman's. And now this is Wonder Woman's. So we find them going to Themyscira. We find them having to, because they look like trespassers to the people on there, you know, they have to kind of prove themselves worthy of staying on there. We see a young Diana, because obviously this is in her past, but they don't recognize each other right off the bat. Or at least grown-up Diana doesn't seem to recognize her, or doesn't mention it right off the bat. Well, actually, I take it back. She does, actually, because she deliberately doesn't say her name, because, you know, it would cause some confusion, obviously. But they go through some tests to kind of stay on the island, but apparently the guys can't stay, so Wonder Woman's like, well, if they're gone, I'm gone, and then they end up going down what seems to be the River Styx.
Sure.
And they get to a point to where, I guess, well, they get to a point to where they find out what's, they're kind of getting, they know what's been going on, but they don't know why, and they still don't know why, but they get to reasoning why, you know, they get to a reason as why this is happening to them, but they still don't understand why this is happening, or what's happened to them, but they're not sure why. And at the end of this, we get a relatively classic Superman villain shows up out of the blue.
Okay.
Who may or may not be a part of this, but it, well, I take that back. It makes sense with the story and what they've been going through. And I was kind of wondering if that was going to be the case, because there has been so far in this arc some similarities to a classic Superman story, aka for the man who has everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think about that story and what happens to him, then,
yes.
And there you go. That's who shows up.
Ah, spoiler alert.
So, and like I said, and we do get a little bit in the quote unquote present, because Lois Lane is trying to get through to the barn where she doesn't know where everybody is, but she's trying to get to where her son John is, and Poison Ivy's there, and they seem to be having a little battle.
Okay.
But we don't really get, like, we get like probably half a page of that before it goes back to the main story. So, but like I said, I have been enjoying this book, and I didn't think since the first issue, I figure I was going to, but I didn't think I wasn't sure how long I was going to stick to it. But I'm here for the very least the arc, and see where it goes from here, because, you know, whatever they pull out from here should be all right, hopefully. But you can definitely sense the togetherness that these three characters have. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, they are the Trinity, so of course they would be, you know, the closest ones to each other. And this is stories kind of closing in on some of that. All right, that's the DC for me this week. So we can do some Marvel or whatever else we got.
That's fine by me. Let's see. Let's go with Ultimates 2, number 2.
Yes, okay.
So this was a lot of kind of interesting tie-ins with the other kind of cosmic book in the Marvel Universe right now. Speaking of, what I'm speaking of is the Silver Surfer.
Yep.
You know, there's literally a direct tie-in with what's been happening
I was about to say last volume of Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I was about to say it was pre-ending of Secret Wars. That's what I was going to mention. Like, this is literally the tail end of Secret Wars as they're rebuilding the Marvel Universe. They tie directly into how that ended in the pages of the Silver Surfer book.
Also a Christmas issue. Slavic.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was a Christmas issue. It was an interesting Christmas issue to boot. Apparently something good is happening in the Giants game, which is good, you know, which I'm happy to hear. Uh-huh. You know, because the Giants are still down, by the way. I'm looking for my copy of Ultimates 2 this week. Here we go. Because I want to see what some of these pages look like on the printed page, because I did read this via preview copy and right. on a smaller 7-inch screen. And I'm looking at the printed page now, and Travel Foreman, I think, is doing a bang-up job on this book now. And there's a couple of really well-drawn...
Yeah, it took a second to kind of warm up to him after the Rockefeller stuff of last volume, but yeah, he's definitely doing some great stuff.
Because there's some kind of epic page layouts on this. There's a couple of really cool kind of abstract drawings of what we find out is, spoiler alert, the Shaper of Worlds, who basically bit the big one at the end of, or in that Silver Surfer volume that we were referencing earlier.
And sacrifice himself, I guess.
Right.
One way to look at it.
Right. So ultimately, it's a pretty interesting premise in that the new Lifebringer Galactus is basically being brought before the Living Tribunal by Order and Chaos. And there's an interesting culmination to that parallel storyline, because there's what the Ultimates team, what they're doing, and what Galactus is occupied with as well. So there's a lot of cosmic level stuff going on in this. If ever there was like an heir apparent to what a Fantastic Four book would be doing right now, it is this book.
Agreed.
Anything to add?
I don't think I have. Well, so the one thing I did want to mention was we, in the last volume of Ultimates, when in the first arc, well, it was the first arc, it was pretty much the arc, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. There was a part that still doesn't seem, and I don't know if we're actually going to get anything from this, but this issue mentions a flashback between the crew and Galactus, and Carol's kind of getting up in Galactus' face about basically, hey, how do you know you're not going to turn back, kind of a situation. You know?
Right.
And Galactus says, I'm like, you know me, you've seen me, you've basically changed me to the way I am, or something like that, mm-hmm. to her. And I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, when did this happen? One, because she had nothing to do with that directly. Well, I guess the team did as a whole. But the only part of that I was kind of wondering about it was, like, there was a part I remember where Galactus kind of had either given Carol some power or some, had looked into her mind or let her see into his mind for a quick second, but we never got to see what he saw. And we still haven't seen what he saw, what she saw, excuse me, not he.
Right.
But, and that part still kind of like, I mean, it could be a thing that, you know, Ewan's kind of going for the long thing and that's going to come up on something, or it could have been something from a throwaway. I don't know, but I'm like, that part still kind of weird to me. And America Chavez's position in this, like, I get it, because, you know, she's multidimensional. So of course she would be, you know, on the outside mm-hmm. of things trying to do some work. And also, you know, Blue Marvel and the rest of them, so I get that. But it's still, even in this issue, she looks different and seems to be acting slightly different from what we have seen from her in the past.
Right.
Just slightly.
Gotcha. All right, we'll get to the other book that we both read that came out this week, and that is Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 16.
Yes.
I know that you are a big fan of this issue, because it is focused upon one of the primary supporting characters in the book, and that is, hold on, drum roll please. No spoilers, because she's on the cover.
I know, right? Misty Knight.
There you go.
We have seen this cover for a couple of months now, if you've kind of been looking around. So it was just a matter of time to where this issue was going to come into bear.
Right.
However, I was kind of worried going into it, because sometimes, as you and I both know, the cover doesn't always, you know, go with what's inside the book.
Sure.
And this, I am happy to say, absolutely does, because this is, like you said, this was a Misty-focused issue.
Sure.
She pretty much told Sam, like, look, you need to take some time off, you know, get away from here. I got this. Don't worry about it. And sure enough, something comes up. We get a little bit of, for those who are reading this book and don't know too much about Misty Knight, we get a little bit of her backstory during the course of this issue.
Just a little bit,
to the finer points, you know, mm-hmm. the stuff that you kind of, you know, you would find out about anyway, in her dealings with various groups and people. We find her on a case that has her looking into the fact that apparently there are some sex tapes going around with, you know, heroes and lightweight villains. But the people, the women that are involved don't have no recollection of this. So right. thought it might've been like mind control at first. Come to find out, it is a tried and true staple of LMDs.
Yes. Shout out to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Indeed. And also behind it, which this is Nick Spencer writing this book.
So. Of course. So there would be a tie-in to one of the characters, one of the villains in the the recent Ant-Man series.
Exactly. And that being one Ulysses S. Slugman.
Yes.
I'm sorry, yes. I remember that full name. But
yes.
The Slug, yes. who is apparently was behind all this, and Misty gives him a good thrashing, and it is a good time. And she even takes the shield with her and gets some use out of it.
Okay, there's a couple things I have. One cool thing in this, and one I kind of take issue with that. Take umbrage with that.
Why?
The first thing is we get a guest appearance by Rosario Dawson. I mean Claire Temple, which is awesome, right?
Yep.
The second thing is, and maybe
again putting some cinematic ties thing.
Exactly. So. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm just a little bit. Maybe I'm just a Captain America fanboy at heart. But well, you can't treat the damn shield right. You can't treat the shield like it's just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pick this up and take it with me. Come on, man. Why is Sam Wilson not carrying this with him? Why is Sam Wilson not carrying this with him in a portfolio?
Because he was trying.
He's not an artist. That's why.
Okay. So going on that point, why did Cap in Civil War? Wait, was it Civil War? No, in Winter Soldier, leave his fucking shield by the door.
Well, I think maybe that's like the crazy. Well, I know I've mentioned that on the show before, where you know he just leaves. He's not carrying it with him. Like, what the hell's going on? Is this like the new status quo now? Come on.
Which come on. They gotta have some time. They can't carry the thing around everywhere, you know.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just like, you can't be. What's funny is that obviously, you know, things change from writer to writer. Like there have been times when the shield has been treated with such reverence,
right?
That you just no one but Cap picks it up, you know. And then there's times when it's just like not a throwaway thing, obviously, because we're still treating it.
Well,
like
it is a shield that flies. So yeah, it was absolutely a
throwaway thing. Pun intended.
but yeah, we have seen
exactly.
some storylines where we have seen people in an issue, you know, various people who normally don't have the shield end up with the shield.
Right. So
yeah,
you know, I just took a little bit of umbrage with that. It's just laying around. She's like, you know what? I'm going to take it with me. I'm like, what? So, but
I mean, come on. If you were in that, if you think about this, if you were in that same position and Sam was like, you know what? Yeah. Okay. I got to go. And he left shield. And you had a mission like that. You mean to tell me you wouldn't pick it up and take it with you?
Well, hold on. I'm going to flip through this now and see. She does throw it. And she that's another problem I have.
And quite well, actually. Yeah.
Right. That's another thing. What kills me about how cavalier Spencer is with this now is like not only does Sam Wilson, who is a non-enhanced person, like throw this around like it's nothing, right?
But he's also been training with it, and Misty Knight, who is a trained detective and marksman,
she's got the arm. I give her the pass because she's got the advantage that Bucky had.
Well, yeah, but that's still not going to give them the
advantage.
Arm is not going to give them the advantage of being able to, you know,
to chuck it with force and to chuck it with sufficient force that it'll rebound. That's where she gets a pass from me on this. I still kind of take umbrage with Sam Wilson just chucking it around because he's basically like a football player. And, you know what I mean? Like in terms of strength. And, you know, I kind of, I still can't get that. So, yeah, he's been practicing with it, but come on. You know, they actually, if I recall correctly, Ed Brubaker made a point that Bucky could chuck it around similar to Steve Rogers because he had the bionic arm. You know, if I think back on it, I don't think I'm mistaken about that. But like I said, you know, writers treat these things differently. Yeah. Overall, this was an interesting issue because it does develop Misty Knight's character as a prime supporting character in this book.
One would almost say, and I'm hoping that this could very well happen, is that this issue pretty much tells me that she needs her own book. Now, granted, I was going to say that regardless, but, you know, I would like to believe she can carry a book, and she has, you know.
To an extent, past, right.
To an extent, yeah.
The problem is, I was going to say, the problem is, until she develops I guess, beyond the Fearless Defenders. You know, hopefully this will give her a springboard into into a solo book. So I guess, you know, she's on her way.
I mean, you would think. Or at the very least, like, maybe put her back with, you know, I know her and Colleen has kind of had some issues with each other as of late. But, you know, maybe throwing them back together for Daughters of the Dragon book. Either way, you know, I mean, Patrick, you got people like Fool Killer and Solo getting solo books, of all people. They could give a great character like Misty Knight a book.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was about to say, I can't argue with that if that's going to be your justification, because for God's sake, none of us know why Fool Killer and Solo have books. So, moving on.
Exactly. Oh, and shout out to Matt Wayne 97, who says he really likes how Nick Spencer weaved in Misty Knight's recent history, Heroes, Villains for Hire. Exactly. And with and Heroes, right. Villains.
Like, and he also knows that I leave my cap shield near my door.
Exactly. I wasn't going to mention that part, but...
anyway, back to the books out this week.
The
big Spidey book that's out this week. Okay. Was Amazing Spider-Man number 22. I know you haven't been really following whatchamacallit. You haven't really been following Clone Conspiracy?
No, not so much.
Without spoiling too much, this fills in some of the backstory behind the big reveal in Clone Conspiracy number 3.
Okay.
So that's that.
Okay. Which, you know, if the other guys were here, they could. I'm sure they would have something.
Right. Like I said, I didn't want to expound too much on that. So
sure. So that's cool, I guess.
No, it is.
I know Clone Conspiracy has been met with some good stuff. So I'm not knocking it. It's just that I haven't been up on either of the Spider books lately.
Right.
At some point. Well, I guess. We don't have a holiday break, but I guess with what we have to being close to one, we'll try to get on that. But anyway, let's see. What else do we have here? So we talked about that. Not going to read Doctor Strange, so I didn't really read it. You said you did read Doctor Strange, did you not?
I did read Doctor Strange. So okay. This is a quirky book, right? So yes. This dealt with the Orb. The Orb, who has been recently...
The Orb, thank you. I said the eye. I don't know why I said that. Well, I mean, he's a giant eyeball. So it is technically correct,
right? So, basically, the Orb is kind of powered up somewhat because he has absorbed a lot of the knowledge that was held by the Watcher. Exactly. Right. I was going to say from the storyline in Original Sin, and that's still rearing its ugly head every once in a while. You know,
ugly eyes.
So ultimately what we have is Dr. Strange kind of literally trying to I just flipped to a page where Dr. Strange exclaims, shout out to Jason Aaron. How do I choke you? Where's your stupid neck? Because it's just a big eyeball on a set of shoulders. There's just a lot of fun in this. But we also have the what I guess is one of the big bads from Doctor Strange's Rogues Gallery finally making his appearance after we've gone through some of the lesser rogues of in Doctor Strange's Rogues Gallery. You know, where we basically went from from Nightmare all the way down to the Orb, and then now we finish this issue with a cliffhanger and. Without spoiling too much, and obviously if you watched the Doctor Strange movie, you will understand what I mean when I say we end this issue with an appearance by the big bad from the movie. That's that.
Which was probably going to be no surprise, because, I mean, this whole arc has been his rogues gallery coming back to bear anyway.
So sure.
It was only a matter of time before this person was going to show up.
Sure. Just very quickly, Chris Bocciolo, I think it's Bocciolo, actually. But he only does roughly half of the book, and the other half of the book is done by, or maybe two-thirds of the book, and the other third of the book is by Jorge or George Fornay. Right. So it's not Fornay. Jarring. You know, it's not jarring, but it's noticeable because, you know, when you're if you've been reading this book from its inception with Bocciolo on art, it has a distinct... quirky, crazy look, and to see, to flip a page and see a different artist doing it, it's on the jarring side,
right? And I'm kind of flipping through this, and I'm seeing there's a big eyeball, which is the orb driving a cab, which is already unsettling as it is.
Listen, Jason Aaron has got, you know, is running on all cylinders right now. That is no joke.
Absolutely. So,
all right. Are we in rapid fire for this week? This.
I think we are. Yeah, we'll be talking more about that within the next, I guess, couple of weeks with about the game of the year and stuff. Let's see. So let's get to something that Tim has on here, which is the only other thing he has. Invincible Iron Man, number 2, which I haven't read yet, but he says, fun seeing Riri being trained by the consciousness of Tony Stark.
That's the sum total of the book.
Yeah, which I get, but I still, you know, I've already made my issues known with that. So, but I get it, and it makes sense. We move on to, I don't think we have much left, but Black Panther World of Wakanda, number 2. In a nutshell, this issue gets the two Dora Milaje, a.k.a. the Midnight Daughters. I believe that's what they call them.
Is that what it is?
I believe.
I haven't read
Midnight Angels. Excuse me, Midnight Angels.
That's it. I thought the Midnight Angels were the armor suits, though, no?
They were, but, you know, being that these two are no longer Dora Milaje and they're using the armor, that's why.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
But this still takes part. This part still takes place in the past, but this issue gets them to where they're getting to that point. This is before they get to the armor. As a matter of fact, this takes place around Infinity because we start from because the book started from, what was the event before that? I can't remember. But regardless, it's the stuff where Namor flooded the city.
Gotcha. No, that's
Infinity. Which I think it was AVX, wasn't it?
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah, so I think it was AVX, and that's where it started. And then in the middle of this issue goes into Infinity, and then the characters get to a point where, like, to where they've had enough of following T'Challa, and we're about to do our own thing. But there's also a love affair between these two that has been blossoming for the last few issues, and it's been a very beautiful thing on that part. So, like I said, this issue is pretty much getting them from pretty much where they are now without actually getting the armor and whatnot, where we see in the Black Panther proper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says something about next issue. I can't remember. I'm visualizing the last page, but basically there's a they talk about Black Panther number whatever the next issue is, and then
is it
the next
direct tie-in?
It doesn't seem like a direct tie-in. Oh, wait a minute, it's in that because I don't have my actual copy.
I was about to say my hard copy is not far from me. So
okay, no, So it looks like the next issue is going to be in the current day, because you see them, if the cover is any indication, it's them with the Midnight Angel's armor.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Black Panther cover is pretty much him and Shuri in her new garb.
Okay, I see it.
But they're basically saying, hey, check these books out.
Gotcha. All right.
In a real time, yeah.
Alrighty.
But I enjoyed this book. That's good. This could have been a potential clicker week, but I'm not, you know, this has been a kind of a week for that stuff. Do I have anything left? I think we talked about everything as far as I'm concerned.
All I've got left is Squadron Supreme number 14. I read this book because Namor, spoiler alert. Right.
Which almost made me interested in reading this because I'm seeing there could be some twist.
Yep. Imperious Rex is back. And you know, there's definitely some fun moments in this book. They're messing with Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Jim Hammond, a.k.a. the original Human Torch. And, you know, as much as they've made Namor out to be a pretty much a general prick in the last few years of Marvel storytelling, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of emblematic or symbolic that, you know, there's always going to be a soft spot in Namor's character for the original Invaders. And there's a certain motivation that he gets when one of his old school buddies, his World War II buddies, something happens to them, and he'll just be like all of a sudden like the righteous, you know, he'll be on the side of the angels just for, you know, just to do right by them. And it's an interesting play on the character, because obviously he's not going to be the straight villain, even though he's done some straight villainous things. So you know, it's a very interesting, you know, it's very much a gray, murky area for the character. And it's interesting that writers in today's Marvel Universe have kind of chosen this particular pocket for his sympathies. You know, like, it's like these guys, you know, these particular characters are the ones that kind of bring out the best in Namor.
Right. So it seems to be, from what I gather, that he may or may not be an ally to them, even after all the squad.
Well, he's, at the end of the day, he's still sort of out for himself. You know, he does, yeah. Exactly. So without spoiling too much, because I think there is quite a bit of a status quo change for certain members of the Squadron Supreme in this. And what's teased in the next issue, at least on the cover, is that there's going to be additional changes for their status quo as an operating team or as an active team. So that's that. I think that covers our books for this week, and I guess we'll do clicks of the week for both weeks.
Yes, we will.
Did Dirt give us any info on his clicks? Dirt
did not give us anything.
Okay. All right. So
barely fills it out anyways.
So I know. Exactly. So shout out to PCN _ Dirt.
Indeed.
I will go with... Let me take the lead so that you can... it sounds like you may need to figure out for this week. So for last week, the week of the 14th, my click of the week, I'm going to second Tim Dog's click of the week pick of Inhumans versus X-Men #1.
Okay. And for this week?
And for this week, I'm going to go with... This is a couple of tough choices, because it didn't seem like there were like some real standout issues. I didn't get to speak about a lot of the books that I read, like Star-Lord, Gamora. Gamora was actually a very interesting read this week.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
Spider-Gwen,
neither one. Usually you one of us would have brought up Spider-Gwen, but I don't think either one of us.
I read Spider-Gwen. It was good, not, you know, it wasn't like, you know, an incredible read this week. It was definitely good, though. You know, lots of good, nothing, you know, I don't want to go with Justice League versus Suicide Squad. It was a fun read because it made sense that they were at odds with each other. I just didn't think it was my favorite book of the week. I think I'm going to go with, I'm flipping through my physical copies now of my books this week. I'm going to go with a book I didn't talk. No, I'm not going to go with that. Because I did actually read Thanos #2, and it's actually a pretty interesting read too. Okay. I think I'm going to go with How about, you know what? As much as it was kind of not all that dramatic, I'm going to go with The Amazing Spider-Man #22.
Okay. Sounds like solid choices there. And
yeah, right? Let's go, Giants!
All right. For last week, I am going to go with. You know what? I think I will go with Hawkeye #1.
Nice,
because I did enjoy that. Like I said, I'm a fan of Kate Bishop, so that was good. There was some other decent stuff. I would have almost put in for Guardians of the Galaxy because it was an enjoyable, you know, Ben Grimm focused book, and I've said in the past that, you know, Ben has pretty much been the book, the thing, the glue for this book, for this run for me. So there was that. But for this week, I think I will go with Captain America, Sam Wilson #16, because it's Misty.
Sure.
And I hope she gets a book. That's all I'm saying. It probably won't happen, but
there you go.
Hey, if Nick Spencer wants, you know, got some ideas for that one.
Yeah, right.
This is something heading up for that one. I'm all for it.
Oh, that sounds good.
So that's it. So
we did mention now... that Tim's click of the week for this week is Justice League versus Suicide Squad #1, right?
Oh, I thought you said, that is right. I thought you said he was in IVX.
No, that was last week.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was. So why did I get rid of that? And that is right. His was that. You just said, and I need to put that in the thing. In the meantime, let us get to an answer so we can speak along with.
Yes. So. We are only a couple of days away from Christmas Day. It is definitely a little bit late for some shopping, but you know, if you got the one-day rush, you might be able to get it in. Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit cspn.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment that helps us keep the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through CSPN.us, do it today.
I was trying to queue up something real quick, and it wasn't happening for me. Nevertheless, we will keep this going because it actually does have something to do with what we're about to talk about. But on that, let us tag team this news.
Yes,
let's roll. Cinematics. These first three are pretty much all together. Well, first four are much together. So last week we did get the first official Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, the right. official trailer for the U.S. and the international. If you haven't seen them, you should go check them out.
Right. And if you do, and if you follow us on Twitter, you know that we actually discuss these trailers online.
Yes,
between the four hosts. So. I can definitely tell you that I was not so keen on the music in the U.S. trailer, and Dirt promptly educated me on MGMT, and yeah. I am not familiar with that group at all.
I have heard that particular piece before in other stuff, and it's kind of like, so you and I both grew up in the Avias.
Right.
So this is kind of that kind of music, or similar to that, what they would have put into trailers back then for any coming of age type.
Right.
Type story. So, no surprise. So, that's why I didn't really mind it that much. I was like, okay, I get what they're going for here.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's a different tone than Guardians of the Galaxy, but, you know, sure. It's a tough... Listen, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is a tough trailer to follow up, especially with a song that hardly anyone knows, mm-hmm. but is catchy as hell. So, you find yourself bopping along even if you don't know the song.
Right.
Whereas, you know, you're not bopping along to, to this particular MGMT song. So.
Well, maybe you are. I don't know.
Yeah, you might be. I don't know.
Oh, but you know what? By the way, we didn't give Dirt a click of the week, and I was looking for one. Then I knew I had this up for a reason.
Is it Zombie Tramp?
Not this week.
Oh.
And I knew I had two choices. One, both of these he would probably hate, but one he would hate particularly would be his click of the week. Archie, number 15, featuring Cheryl Blossom.
Good job.
He feels about the Archie stuff. It was either that or go with the ZeniMax, this executive assistant Iris book that I just saw from Zenoscope. But nevertheless,
alrighty.
There we go. So, yeah, like I said, good. The trailers were good. Go watch them, whatever. So there was a part in the trailer that I know personally I was thinking was the case, which is the next story. So there was a guy that shows up in the book. I mean, in the trailer,
right? Who hits a little too friends. Close? Who hits a little too close to home for one agent underscore 70?
Exactly.
so we've got a slightly overweight Asian brother who is playing a Peter Parker's friend, and he is not Gonke.
Yes, because people were, and I know when I first saw it, I was like, oh shit, they're putting Gonke in here? What? And right. Apparently, based on this article that we have here, that is not Gonke.
Right.
That is, in fact, you want to go ahead and read in spoiler world, I guess? It's apparently Ned Leeds.
Right. And what's funny about this is that anyone who's been a fan of this show knows that I'm a big fan of the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon.
Right.
That Sony put out. And
that's right. Yes, right. Because we brought that up when we were talking about the trailer. Because it seemed like that's what they were going for.
Exactly. The trailer. Yes. What they ended up doing is I'm very surprised that they didn't just change his name to Ned Lee, which is what they did in the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, and just make him a brand new character.
Right.
So I'm very surprised that they did not do that. You know, in fact, this is Ned Leeds, who has a very tortured past.
Well, yeah, that one's better.
In the Marvel Universe.
More specifically tied to Spider-Man, definitely. Yes.
Exactly. So it's an interesting adaptation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe of a certain character.
Mm-hmm. And it leads kind of to a curiosity of wondering, like, obviously this is them in high school, so you're probably not going to get through that part of it, but maybe I'll touch on a little
bit. Or they'll tease it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They might tease it down the road.
You know? Who, also, Ned Leeds was also early on, well, I guess still even until the very torturous part, was a part of the Daily Bugle staff.
Right. I was just going to say that I think what threw everyone for a loop and made us all think it was going to be Gonke was the fact that he was, I think, playing with Legos in one of the scenes.
There was, yeah.
Right, he's holding a big Lego construct, yeah. Mm-hmm. and it falls, and he drops it because he sees it. Peter Parker, and I'm like, come on, that's Gonke. That's like something that's straight out of the Ultimate Spider-Man comics.
You know? Exactly. And that was my thing. And granted, not having read so much of it, but I knew enough about the character to be like, okay, that's got to be.
Yeah.
And, but apparently not. But they are definitely using aspects.
Right. So I did not read this article, but it looks like the director of the first Deadpool reveals why he declined to work on the sequel.
Yeah, and we kind of had an idea that was created. This is between him and
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
and apparently in this he says that he wanted to make pretty much the same movie, just whatever.
Right.
Yes, I don't.
Okay,
it is what it is.
So the Suicide Squad soundtrack has been nominated for 5 Grammys. Is that good?
I guess I have a copy of said movie right
here.
Oh
wow!
I still haven't watched yet.
I haven't watched it either, but you at least have a copy of it.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't just rent it instead of buying it, but that's my stupidity. I do this all the time. Not all the time, but whatever. So maybe I'll get a chance to see some of that whenever I get to it. And again, we got year and stuff, so I'm going to have to get to it in the next couple of weeks. And on that note, Harley Quinn-led Gotham City's Sirens taps Suicide Squad's air to direct. So I believe we may have talked about this part before, and I'm not sure if it came out before or after the show, but Margot Robbie... is going to be producing this, as her first production thing. That and a couple others, which are not comic related, but this is going to be her baby, and they got David Ayer to direct this. So, if you don't know, Gotham City Sirens was a miniseries, if I'm not mistaken, dealing with Harley, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy, I believe.
It's not right. It's not confirmed that those are going to be the characters in the movie, but that's...
However, we do have a rumor that Megan Fox is going to be
exactly
in the running for Poison Ivy. So
gotcha. All righty. So,
and for what I remember reading of Gotham City's items, which was probably like the first issue, so it seemed like it might be all right. But I need to go back and read it.
Gotcha. That's my cover. Gotcha. All righty. So. Next up, we have, scrolling down, Legends of Tomorrow casts Elise Levesque. I thought it was going to be Triple H. I saw Levesque. I was like, what? Triple H? not Paul Levesque, but Elise Levesque for a guest spot. So it's an alum of the originals, has been cast for an upcoming episode of Legends of Tomorrow. She will be playing Guinevere, as in the Tales of King Arthur. Or, in this case, it could be part of Camelot 3000. Camelot. Anyway.
I'd like to write the Framelot.
Oh, no. Moving on.
Yes. Oh, but from the shots that they use in it, in the pictures they got up there, it doesn't seem like Camelot 3000. But we don't know, because,
Yeah.
It's legends. They do a lot of silliness. I love it.
Sure.
DC Comedy Powerless gets a premiere date, and that date is Thursday, February 2nd at 8:30 Eastern on NBC. Bloom, bloom, bloom.
Wow.
So wait, it says apparently here the show is expected to air on NBC for one season before being moved to the CW, where all the shows are.
Destined?
Which is weird, because I wonder if there's going to be a part of the fold of the DC crossovers on there, which that was weird because this is only a 30-minute show.
Never know.
Yeah, never know. Somebody will probably, which, and also kind of leads us to, have people from another show showing up, I guess.
Sure. So the actor Patrick Wilson is going to put on a costume and transform into Orm.
Is that the dude from Suits?
Ronald Roar. Also known as the Ocean Master. So there's going to be apparently a Thor Loki type of relationship between the two, the brother and the two half brothers, and over the rule overruling Atlantis.
I didn't know they were actually related. Well, actually, maybe I did, because maybe there was a Justice League that mentioned that.
But, I think so.
Yeah. Weird. So good on them. Okay, the Conjuring movies. All right. So let's see. Okay, so we got new promos for Marvel and FS's X-Men series Legion. I was about to say Logan. That movie. I haven't watched these, and I don't know why I haven't, but all the promos that we've seen for this so far have been really crazy, so I expect these to be genuinely crazy as well.
Okay. So next up we have Star Trek Discovery has cast an actress from The Walking Dead, the actress who, of course, now that she's been cast in Star Trek, may very well be meeting her end on the show The Walking Dead very soon. Yeah. The actress is Sonequa Martin-Green, who plays Sasha on The Walking Dead.
I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I don't care, but I do like Star Trek, so I am happy for this. There is also, I just saw something online a little bit ago on Twitter saying that she could quite possibly be, she is definitely the lead, and she could have some romantic ties with Michelle Yeoh, who's also been cast, which,
okay.
That, again, that part is seemed like it might be speculation. I haven't seen anything that says that for certain, but like, there's, or this was probably people saying they wish, they hope.
Mm-hmm.
Type of situation, which, hey, I'm cool with.
Alrighty.
I like Michelle Yeoh also, so.
Gotcha. So there is a major Captain Marvel script update. Apparently, while it's not as far ahead as we would hope, it's still moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically the studio has a treatment now, so they're just going to yay or nay it and go from there.
And I think they're still looking for a director, no? Yes, the film is still without a full script or director, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which is it is still far enough away out to where they can hash that out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Marvel Fireplace Videos invite you to the Avengers Cozy Homes.
Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
So we have, these are kind of cool. You know, the Fireplace Videos have been a thing for a few years. You know, Netflix has theirs. There's been a few on YouTube for years upon years. This one is Marvel themed. There's a Captain America one, there's a Thor one, there's an Iron Man one, and there is a Miss Marvel one.
Mm.
So basically all you see is, you know, a picture of a fireplace, and you have the accoutrements of whatever hero that of the video, and a nice roaring fire with some crackle to it, and some music playing around. The only one I've actually watched a little bit of was the Captain America's
one. And the Tony Stark one, the Iron Man.
I haven't watched that one yet, but yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool, and the music is seemingly appropriately timed for that one, at least. So, and it's Christmas music, so, you know, and it's about an hour, so, you know, go check it out if you need something to put some in the background and support your favorite hero, I guess. Like I said, I really want to check out the Miss Marvel one to see what's up with that one, but I'm definitely checking out all of them. I know I have made the joke online that you've spent your time watching the Cap
one. Sure, I already have. I think we can skip the next story and jump to the one directly after, which is sort of related.
Sure.
Star Wars Rebels adds a character from Rogue One. So, without spoiling too much, actually, you know, without spoiling, I mean, the
character, that's not really spoiling, yes.
Yeah, the character does show up in the trailers. It's Saw Gerrera, and that character is played by Forrest Whitaker.
And apparently Forrest is going to be the voice in Rebels also.
That's cool. That's actually, you know, that's great for continuity purposes. It's nice to be able to hear the same actor play the same character in both live action and animation.
Yeah. So, and so if you don't know, Saw Gerrera does, you know, show up in Rogue One. He also showed up previously in, or the character did, I should say, in Clone Wars, which is, that's where the character originated from.
Okay.
So the fact that they would be in Rebels is probably not a stretch, assuming he was still alive in Clone Wars, which I had just gotten to that part of Clone Wars because I'm doing a rewatch or doing a watch now, so I haven't gotten to the episode just yet. And apparently he is, obviously. So, you know, so there's that.
All right, so next up we have Han Solo Star Wars spinoff is going to begin filming in February of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expected to see an episode 8 teaser trailer. When exactly? I'm trying to find that in the notes.
I don't think it actually says. Just
maybe summertime, because it's supposed to drop in December of 17. So
more than likely, it'll probably be around Celebration, which would be in July, I think.
There you go.
Either Celebration or whatever the other Star Wars one. I can't remember. But then again, because there's one later in the year, and there's those I think Celebration is in the summer. So if they're going to do it, that would be the place for them to do it.
Gotcha. Vincent D'Onofrio says,
or Comic Con, but
I'm sorry,
could do that. But I seriously doubt that. You know,
gotcha. I'm sorry to
the last couple of ones. No, I'm sorry.
I wasn't sure if you were. Yeah, I was about to. I didn't realize you were still trying to figure out the timing on that. I was moving on to the next story, which is Vincent D'Onofrio says there is, quote, no chance of Kingpin appearing in the Defenders. So apparently he's not the big bad.
No, well, we already know that Sigourney Weaver is the big bad,
right? But he's not even going to make an appearance,
or.
Is he?
Because he only knows. I mean, you know, he may absolutely know, and that could be the case. But I think he has said before that, yeah, there's a chance, you know, that he could be, or that he was going to be in the film. But being that Daredevil season 2, we weren't sure if he was going to be in there, and he did show up. still a chance of him showing up in the Defenders some kind of way.
Okay. All right. So very quickly, as we move through these, the new DuckTales cast is seriously stacked with TV faves. I think there's video of the cast singing the new theme song.
Basically.
The Civil
and also at the same time showing who the cast is.
Right.
Because we did not know that information before. And there's some names on here. You know,
yes.
A couple of community people, a couple of there's an SNL person.
Right, the Purple Man himself.
Yes, the Purple Man / a Doctor Who. Well, who's been doing a lot of voice work in the last couple of years? Because I know he did, like, and I'm talking about David Tennant, if you wasn't clear on that. But he's done Ninja Turtles, and I hear he's like a real big geek anyway. So, and I know he's done some video game work also. So he's been around.
All righty. So
if you watch that and don't smile within the first five seconds or a minute, you have no soul.
Oh no.
DuckTales we're talking about.
Oh no. So Civil War comics writer Mark Millar is not a big fan of Captain America movie. Boo, Mark Millar.
Yeah. Which is kind of surprising, because normally you would, you know. But then again, Millar's a strange one. So
yeah. Let's see here. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot is online. I have not watched it yet. This is
solo. They're all out there, as a matter of fact, because all six episodes are out.
It's a solo. It's a solo mission for Yo-Yo.
Right. And so it's like five episodes, or six episodes, and like 5 minutes a piece, almost like the Vixen.
Mm-hmm.
Except for these are live action. Looks like
right.
So
the Thor Ragnarok director confirms the movie will visit Sakaar, the planet that was in Planet Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like we're going to get a stripped down version of some part of Planet Hulk, because obviously some of the characters will not be able to be used.
Right, it's unfortunate, but that is the case. Mm-hmm. And is that the last of the cinematic news?
Last for cinematic. Yeah, we got some clickbait stuff, but you can read that at your leisure.
Scrolling through, we're going to.
So this came out within the last week or two, so you know we have the March 2017 solicits and still some stuff, which I think a couple of them we will get to in the course of content.
I love that the first story in the comic section is actually something for action figure heads like myself and Roddy Cat. So Hasbro reveals their Spider-Man Homecoming Vulture Marvel Legends action figure. And when I saw this, I was like, okay, maybe I'm not so keen on the design, but holy cow, those wings are crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
So the flight gear and the wings alone come with 12 points of articulation. That is actually going to be the Build-A-Figure portion of this set. It's the wing. So if you want to completely construct the Vulture and his wings, you kind of have to get the figures that include those parts.
Yeah, which normally we would get an actual figure in the figure part. But you know what? Hey, this works, I guess.
Right. So the next bit of news is the Guardians of the Galaxy toy line that's going to be released in around the time of the release of Volume 2, the Volume 2 movie. And it's interesting because there's only a few actual Guardians figures in the set. There's going to be a new Star-Lord with a shorter jacket, a Yondu who's someone we probably should have gotten the first time around, and a new Drax that, you know, the first Drax. I actually just got the first Drax. The first Drax has a very good likeness of Dave Bautista. The new one has an even better one, and it's very interesting that the likenesses are so good for this particular character.
Right, and for those watching the video part, I am showing the Drax figure right now.
Yes. So those are the three Guardians characters, and now there's going to be an Angela, who is based on the comic version, the Sam Alexander Nova, which is probably going to be one of the figures I get from the set, a Vance Astro, and last but not least, Roddy's scrolling through the images, but there's going to be a Darkhawk that looks awesome, and it'd be nice if I was actually a fan of the character. But you know, I know there's definitely fans of the character out there. This is a great rendition of this character. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, this seems more of a Tim type character. I can't speak for to say if that's actually true or not, but like Darkhawk came around in what, like late 90s or something, or 2000?
No, early 90s.
Early 90s, was
early,
it?
Early mid-90s. Early to mid-90s. He was out.
Okay. Because I remember some dealings with the Avengers and whatnot. And
right. And the Build-A-Figure of all people is Titus, a character created by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness in one of the more recent Nova series. And I was about to say, I've joked before about not wanting to build the Build-A-Figure. There's a Build-A-Figure I don't want to build. So, you know, no offense. But
I figured there could have been better figures that they could have.
Yeah, I'm gonna be cherry picking a couple of figures out of this set. That's about it.
Personally, I want this Vance Astro.
I don't blame you. That's a great. I mean, when are you going to next get another Vance Astro figure? Let's be serious.
Exactly. You know, and this makes me upset because I would really want the OG
Guardians. Yeah.
We'll probably never get those.
Yeah. It'll
probably never be all of them anyway. Because noticeably, no Gamora, which I think she does. She already have a piece.
Yeah, she does. Well, the original Guardians were all issued with the first movie.
Right. So, and somebody else was missing.
The build a figure for the first movie, the first Guardian set was Groot.
Okay. Yeah. And no Rocket, but
no, there is a Rocket. Oh, no, not in this. There was a Rocket.
Yeah.
There was a Rocket. Yeah, all five members of the movie Guardians were released in that set.
Right.
So moving on, the next bit of news is Stuart Immonen and Norman Osborn are returning to the pages of The Amazing Spider-Man in the wake of the Clone Conspiracy. So that's cool. Arun Singh has been hired as Boom Studios VP of Marketing. Arun Singh is formerly of Marvel Comics and now has moved on to become VP. Where is it? Here we go. There you go, VP of Marketing.
Right. And next up we have, so congrats to him, because I think this kind of came out of, well, I don't remember, because I remember seeing something about him leaving Marvel, or I don't remember if I've seen him.
I think we did. Now that you mentioned it, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, so there you go. R.L. Stine is writing Man-Thing for Marvel Comics, so fans of Goosebumps, rejoice. you get a new Man-Thing comic out of this, which that's a sure.
Okay.
I mean, writer to do something, why not? I had a little rant on Marvel picking actual like novel writers and whatnot as opposed to whatever, but I'll just save that for another time because hey, it's a good book regardless. I'm not gonna read it, but Marvel announces X-Men Prime one shot reveals new resurrection info. So I think we get a couple of, there might be some stuff we get out of that for some characters and whatnot, but we can check that out at your leisure.
Okay. Let's see here. What's next? Marvel DC Viz. Oh, they've revealed the 2017 Free Comic Book Day Gold titles.
Mm-hmm.
So go take a look for. Go take a look at those. DC's Heroes and Hanna-Barbera Creations to cross over in March annuals.
Hey. Because DC loves their crossovers.
Hey,
I don't know. This one could be interesting. And at least they're holding it to the annuals.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So. Some of them are weird, though, because...
I was about to say, speaking of crossovers, I'm going to skip the next story and jump straight to Lord Zedd.
Okay,
Power Rangers.
But okay, that's cool.
Menaces the Heroes of Justice League. Oh, you want to talk about the one before that? Because it looks like that's also a crossover, too.
Well, that's basically the cover for one of the crossovers.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, now we go back, because those are going to be weird. The Perry
thing. Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, the Hanna-Barbera and DC crossovers is going to be weird because of who they have going together. All I'm going to say about that is Booster Gold is going to be the Great Gazoo.
Okay.
In that instance. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what it seemed like. Anyway, but yes, this is Lord Zedd.
So, just saying.
I know, right? Justice League and the Power Rangers, another crossover.
Good Lord.
Yeah, which that could be something. That Power Rangers book is not half bad. And they've been blowing that one out. Like there's been a couple of, other books inside, and apparently there's going to be another for the movie, some kind of, I don't know, weird. Mm-hmm. They're kind of blowing out Power Rangers, and like I said, DC is crossover crazy because they got like four or five of them out right now.
All right, just let's try to get through these kind of quick. We're running a little long. Archie Comics to debut four very different one shots this March, and this was related to. There's a couple of little ones and
there's Serena one, there's a little Archie one, and there's a Jughead werewolf one, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. Or at least that's what being said. Yeah, Jughead is a werewolf. Gotcha. I think it might have been another one. So and the Archies, that's the other one.
Gotcha. All right. So Wonder Woman's run as UN ambassador ends after protests.
So we're not gonna go through this with our kids.
But
the next story kind of tells it. Nicola Scott kind of came out and said some stuff about it. One, it was an honorary position, so their reasonings, I guess, is whatever it is. But
it's all the lame.
Yeah, and I'm like, if they're worried about some scantily clad women representing countries, then they should think twice about having beauty contests.
It's all the lame.
Yeah, it is. But regardless, let us move forward.
Moving on. Young Justice. Greg Weisman asked fans to petition for a new comic series for the characters.
Which you would think wouldn't need to happen. Well, which you'd think wasn't already happening, but, you know.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, in the wake of the successful launch of Champions at Marvel, you'd think that DC would, you know, maybe try to pile on that bandwagon. But they already do have a Titans book out.
Right. So. I was about to say, they already have Teen Titans, so I don't think they've crossed that bridge.
Right.
They think.
Exactly. Godhood Comics debuts first title with leading lady Mega Woman.
Yeah. So I believe this is a black-owned studio company, and they were founded out of Atlanta, GA, and right. their first book is Mega Woman, as you said. So
nice.
Maybe we'll see something about that in the future.
All right. Let's hope. So the M-E-T-H-O-D man wrote a Ghost Rider Christmas comic for Marvel. So I'm looking forward to this. When does this come out?
It's probably going to be like next week.
Okay, so the Infinite comic was released digitally.
Right.
And I guess it'll reach print at some point.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Sometimes they'll do that. But so basically this is saying all you have to be, you know, check one, be a Hall of Fame worthy rapper and interested in comics, and then you can get a book.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Pretty much. Come on, let's not beat around the bush here.
No, I'm looking forward to it because like that the DMC wrote, which you know DMC wrote that that backup for whatever that Guardians book was,
right?
And that was pretty good. So I am curious to see. And granted, he had help with this, so right. Anthony Piper co-wrote and illustrated it. So
sure.
And I've seen a couple of pages from it, which in that article, and then I'm like, all right, so I'd be curious.
Okay, so there's a couple of links that Roddy put into the show notes. One is for the Universal Fan Con, which is the first multi-fandom con dedicated to inclusion, highlighting women, LGBTQ, the disabled, and persons of color.
Yes, the Kickstarter's still going on. They're like 30% the way there, and the con is going to be in the end of April 2018. And the notable thing about this is being put on by Black Girl Nerds and the Black Geeks, who are notable folks out in the social media spaces. You'll probably know those names.
Yes.
So that's an awesome thing. So if you can get over there to support them, please do.
Please.
I'm actually looking into probably seeing about this. Like it's in the middle of April. I mean, it's the end of April, and that's starting to get count season, so it gets kind of hectic. But you know,
sure.
It picked a pretty decent time. Anyway, go check that out. So the next couple of things
are links to.
Okay, so we talked about real quick. We talked about there was a Batman Viewmaster VR set that's supposed to come out, and that is out. I had a chance to mess with it a little bit, and there's also another one too, a Masters of the Universe VR. So basically, what it is. Hang on a second. So Viewmaster came out with these VR thing that looks just like the
old school Viewmaster.
Well, the more like the newer version of their old school one.
Okay.
But basically, yeah. But this is like Google Cardboard or those VR, like the Gear VR, which is the headset that goes around here and you put your phone into.
Sure.
And that does VR. And this is pretty much along those same lines. And there's an app that you download that you can get online, you know, that you can get now from iOS and the Google Play Store.
Right.
Yeah. And you can go check out what's going on. It's actually kind of cool because the Batman one is based off Batman and the animated series. They got Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, and they got the voices playing some stuff. And in that one, you're kind of it's a demo of this. So I didn't get the full package because you got to, even if you get these demos, you still got to pay for how much it's going, which are like, go from anywhere from $6 to $12, depending on where you get them from, I think. But the animated ones, like it's based off the animated series, and you're in the Batcave, and you're kind of looking around, and it looks like you're about to go on a mission to stop the Joker at Acme Chemicals, Ace Chemicals, on that one. And the Masters of the Universe one is cool because it's actually got a little game in it because you're basically helping He-Man escape being imprisoned by Skeletor, and I believe they do actually have the voice of Skeletor in this game, but I didn't get to the part where he was talking. Because all the demo was, which you're pretty much helping He-Man escape. Those are pretty cool. Like I said, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you do have to have like Google Cardboard or that Viewmaster thing. And there is a Batman branded one of that, which I wish I had gotten before, but I didn't know about that one when I got these. But if you have something like Gear VR and or you know and a gear set that supports Google Fiber. Check it out. It doesn't work with iOS 5 if you are those type of people.
All right. Let's see. Where are we now? We're talking about what they should have dropped today. The Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 life-size Baby Groot figures revealed. Of course.
Yes.
Nancy Drew is a femme fatale in the new Hardy Boys comic. Okay.
Yes, apparently they're doing another one, and they sexed her up a little bit.
Gotcha.
Original and current Ghostbusters are teaming up in a new comic. So they have the cinematic version, the recent cinematic version, and the original team, comic version team, I should say, that they're going to cross over with in a upcoming book.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. The only reason why I put this next one in there is because, and I totally forgot they weren't going to be on the show, but our wrestling folk, TMNT and WWE mashup figures.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And last but not least.
Interesting.
Right. And last but not least, La Boricania. Forgive me. I took French in high school.
This is I've heard that in the last day.
just forgive me. I'm born and bred in New York, but you know my Spanish pronunciation is still somewhat lacking.
For sure.
So
we've talked about this book before,
right? So apparently now the book is available to be ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a tweet about it yesterday, I believe, and it's like $20 for either the variant or the regular cover, and they also have a figure you can buy on the store.
Nice.
So that's cool. I actually went ahead and dropped some money on that.
Nice. All righty. That brings us to the end of the new section of Compa Chronicles. And before we get to the unboxing, let me give this add in for Busted Tees. This episode of the Click Nation's Compa Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Brick and Morty, Rick and Morty as Legos, and Simojis, the many faces of Samuel L. Jackson as emojis, and many more are on sale at discount prices. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us, that's cspn.us, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcasts Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
All right, now we come really quickly to the unboxing.
Dun, dun, yeah!
Dun. I can have two boxes, but that one has nothing to do with the comics order. So, well, I guess tangentially, but whatever. I'm not doing that one.
It's all good.
So this week's theme, this month's theme is X-Men. This is the last one of the year. This might be the last one I end up getting. I'm not sure. We'll see how next year goes. But as you saw the theme, it is X-Men coming your way. I don't even know why I even. No.
Yeah, I was about to say, you could at least have like dropped the animated theme song. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I know, but every time, but that other one, you know, it's the worst of that one. So, so I went with that one. As you know, Wolverine's on the top of it, and we open this up because I had the foresight to actually
cut it open it beforehand. I got you.
Yeah. And then we have the line art here, which is a lot of Wolverine for an X-Men box. Oh wait, there's some Cyclops.
Yes, I see a Cyclops. Shout out to Classic Materia.
Yeah. Let's see. And on the inside, we have a patch with Storm.
Nice.
And a, what is this pin?
Yeah, what's the pin?
I said it looked like Thundercats for a second. Oh. It is Magneto's helmet.
Oh, nice.
Get a closer look here.
That's all good. I see it. Cool.
Yeah. So, there's that.
It's just a slightly different perspective.
Yeah. But yeah, for real, I took a glance and I was like, why are they putting Thundercats stuff here? What's going on with that? let's see. Okay, apparently we know what the next box is, and that is Superhero Showdowns.
Okay.
And I just got a glimpse of what's in this box. Let's see. We have a variant cover of Champions number one.
Wow.
With a young Psyche.
Yeah, Funko Cyclops. That's the Jim Lee. That's the Jim Lee costume too.
Yep, of the 90s era. So, I don't know. They went with that one for whatever reason. We have one shirt, as we normally do, which has...
Oh, that looks like a shirt that I'd like. I always liked anything that referenced.
Haha, yes.
Yep.
The no longer named
Exactly. It's ironic, right, that we get a cool T-shirt like that, and the school is no longer called Xavier's.
Exactly. So we have an Xavier school for there we go.
Yes, the Xavier school for gifted youngsters.
I'm assuming it was already faded like that, because I'm like, normally they wouldn't, you know.
No. Yeah, that's what you call it. That's
they intend it. But exactly. There you go. Xavier that's school cool. for gifted youngsters. That's pretty cool.
That is.
What is cool. that? 1963. There you go. Because obviously that's what we got. This shirt smells weird, but you know what? We're gonna roll with it.
That's packaging. Yeah, I just put it in the wash. It'll be all right.
Oh yeah, I normally throw them in the wash beforehand. All right, and we have. Oh, nice. We have. Get out of here. Funko Pop of Mystique.
Oh, that's one of the whatchamacallit? The full body, you know, the is that Funko Pop or is that?
Yeah, it is.
It's
called from their Rock Candy collection, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I've seen, as a matter of fact, I think this is a collection. There is a I think it's the same collection, I'm not sure, but there's a Harley Quinn hula
that
I've seen in my comic shop when I was in there.
Gotcha.
That I almost sent y'all a picture of, but I was like, that other picture that I sent y'all was probably a better of the Cisco New Mutant stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And last but not least, we have Wolverine on his bike.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
You got him claws popped out.
Look at that, and the sideburns.
Yep,
that's crazy looking, man. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And apparently, you know, on the back, of course, they just show you everything that's in the series, in that particular series. So
look at that Mohawk Storm.
Yeah. And now I got to find that one.
Yep.
That's they got Psylocke in here too. So imagine.
That's pretty cool looking.
Yep. Old Archie Angel, and all that kind of good mess. So there we go, and that is it. And of course, you have, you know, line art.
Sure.
Some more line art. Oh, I didn't notice this. They had a Sentinel. The Sentinel right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that, as they say, is that. You want to close this out?
I don't even remember how we do it.
Okay. I got it. Excuse me, box. All right. We have come to the end of another Comic Chronicles. Sorry we started a little bit late, but, you know, things happen. We want to thank everybody for showing up for whatever that one viewer is. I'm going to assume that's Matt Wang. Shout out to him always. You can find our not here hosts Tim DOWG98 at TimDog98. That's Tim DOWG98 on Twitter. You can also find him at CB Cron on Twitter. You can also find him at The Click Nation on Twitter.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought you were going to say at The Click Nation.
I was about to say .com. I was like, I had to stop myself. You can check him out. He's, you know, writing for CBR and everywhere. Go show that dude some love. Click on the stuff. Let's see.
Shout out to @MattWang97 who says that he has a custom version of Darkhawk already.
Oh, nice. You know what? I am not surprised that he would.
Yeah.
Of anybody, I am not surprised by that. So,
listen, if I end up catching a Darkhawk figure, I think I'm going to give it to Matt at @MattWang97.
There you go.
So we'll see.
There you go. But in the meantime, you can find our other hosts, PCN_Dirt, who apparently popped up on Twitter for a sec, @PCN_Dirt. You can also find him at Pop Culture Network, which I think I forgot to say earlier, but that's okay. Go check out his stuff there. You can also find him on the Instagrams at Graham Comic Reviews. Let me get back to the sheet. I definitely got it on there. You can, I think he's still doing Vines, but I think he's pretty much switched over to Instagram. So you can go find his stuff on his Instagram account there. You can also find our Agent 70 right here on @Agent_70 on Twitter. And check out his Instagram account at the same name. We're going to get him with some more accounts one of these days. About that. excuse me. Oh, voice is going. I got to do this. You can also find me at Roddy Cat on Twitter. You can also find me at News Nerds Need on Twitter. And you can also follow my Instagram account, CB Caps, where I will definitely be throwing some stuff on there in the next day or so, because there's some stuff from the last couple of weeks that I've been...
Need to catch up on.
Yeah, pretty much. And like I said, you can always find us on CSPN.us. You can always find us, get our stuff at shop.cspn.us, and find us, you know, at cspn.us. along with other fine programs. And before my voice completely goes, I want to say thank you. I think we will have a show next week because it'll be after the Christmas holiday.
Right.
We are moving ever so slowly up towards the 200th episode, which we have to figure out what we're going to do. We're also moving closer towards the end of the stuff, end of the year stuff, which I'm going to assume is going to happen after the year.
Right, when we have a chance to really summarize what happens in 2016.
Yeah, I've always thought that end of the year stuff, that's still in December, is kind of weird, so it works out. So we're going to be getting that together for you folks and work that out. But in the meantime, until next week, this is the Click Nations Combo Chronicles, and we're gone.
Peace!